We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
So what motivated me to tell Ernie we got to get the great Peter King on is that I was listening to his podcast a couple days ago, and it got me all excited for football because we are a week away from training camps, and then before you know it, we have preseason games, and then before you know it, it's the real thing. He is the great Peter King of NBC Sports, and you should definitely check out his podcast. He had Peyton Manning on the other day. Peter, Evan Roberts, how you been?
Evan, I have never been on the Black Bear Deli Meats. I've never been in the Black Bear Deli Meat studio before, so I'm really, really excited about that.
Oh,
today.
Yes. It smells wonderful. I'll tell you that right now. And it tastes great.
Good. It's good. You got to love the deli meat.
Absolutely. What I loved about your interview with Peyton Manning is, number one, I love athletes that appreciate the history of their sport. And he did this thing with ESPN where kind of learning about the history of the game. But
this is going to be really a good show, and I'm not into promoting anybody else's, you know, any other network's work necessarily, but this is going to be on ESPN Plus, which you got to have a subscribe to it. I've seen two of the episodes. You're just going to love this show if you love football history, because it isn't like you're starting from A to Z. There's 30 episodes between 15 and 28 minutes long. First ones are going to drop like in 10 days. But it isn't like, you know, we're going to start and it's a Ken Burns documentary or something, where you start at the beginning and you go to the present day. Like, Peyton Manning is going to have an episode where he goes to Graceland and he uncovers Elvis Presley, the sick NFL fan, down to wearing the jersey, playing touch football, and everybody on one team being the Browns, everybody on the other team being the Steelers. They found some really interesting stories about pro football history that are going to be fun.
Yeah, the ones that jumped out at me is the recreating of the Immaculate Reception where Peyton has to play the role of Bradshaw because Bradshaw was unable to throw as he was
described. Yeah, Bradshaw can't throw. And not only that, but they got Franco Harris, they got Phil Villapiano of the Raiders.
Right.
They got all of these guys. They got all of these guys who were there that day. And, you know, imagine, you know, Franco Harris, you know, like bending down to catch a ball, catch this ball just the way he did. And the other thing that Manning was telling me about was this guy in Pittsburgh who basically is taken on as his sort of Steeler historian task. To not sell this football, not to get rid of the football. That football will never go anywhere other than in his vault because he considers it a sacred part of Steeler history. I thought it was, I don't know, there's going to be, you're going to, I think people enjoy this.
Oh, absolutely. What do you sense he wants to do eventually? Because Peyton is king. He could run a team if he wanted. He could broadcast if he wants. Do you get a sense of what he eventually wants to do?
I think eventually that he would love to run his own team. I mean, if you were to ask me an absolutely ideal world Manning thing, that he finds a Steve Ballmer type who becomes his, his sugar daddy, sort of his football sugar daddy. And he basically allows Manning to run a team, to invest in the team too. But, you know, Manning is not going to – I doubt that Manning is ever going to have, you know, X number of billion to, you know, to buy a team. But if you ask me, that would be my gut feeling. But I'm just telling you right now, somebody asked me this on Twitter, and I said, what do you think Peyton is going to do?
Right.
And I said, I don't know because I don't think he knows.
Yeah.
I do know that right now – he understands how hard it would be to go and do everything that is involved with the team. He's seen people who he knows well, John Elway, John Lynch, you know, their lives, you know, are just thrown into mayhem when it gets to be about July 15 every year because they don't have a life, you know.
Yeah, no,
they got to do this.
What do you, and I know you touched on this on the podcast, this idea of 18-game schedule, but guys can only play 16. It feels like such an unrealistic idea. It feels like an idea that could absolutely never happen. What's your thoughts on that potential proposal towards the players?
Look, here's the thing that I wrote about this week in my column, my first column back, this is an idea that was championed by one or two teams. This is not an idea that has overwhelming support in the NFL. In fact, a very prominent NFL person told me last weekend, you know, imagine you spend all this money and get tickets for your team to play Tom Brady, Patriots and Tom Brady. And they say, oops, sorry, Brady and Edelman are taking this week off and you're seeing Brian Hoyer throw to John Doe. It's not realistic. Strategically, it would be a lot of fun because, you know, there's all sorts of things that could happen, you know, in a situation where, you know, Tom Brady is going to miss two games. So now you're trying to figure out, you're trying to think along with Belichick, which games are you missing? Are you going to sit your left tackle that week? What are you going to, you know? So, but you're right. I don't sense that it has anything like a universal support around the NFL, and I will be extremely surprised if this ever passes muster.
If you do what they did in 1993, and I remember it, each team had two bye weeks, so you had an 18-week season, so you expanded the NFL season a week longer, but you actually never added any more games. I mean, everybody was playing the same amount of games. Wouldn't that be a financially beneficial thing, not only for the owners, but then the players actually get more rest too?
Theoretically, yes. But over the years, one of the reasons that hasn't really worked and it hasn't become law is because I don't think the NFL wants to push the Super Bowl back to because normally the Super Bowl then would be played on President's Day weekend and or whatever holiday that is in February. And the NFL, just like the NFL moved its games off Labor Day weekend because they thought that it was too much of a distraction. People are traveling, they're moving around. I have a feeling that whatever weekend it's on, the Super Bowl would obviously do boffo ratings. However, that might be the difference between 119 million people watching the Super Bowl and 103. I don't know that, but I think the NFL feels like they really don't want to fool with that by adding an extra week to the season. Now, I do think that what you could see in the new CBA is two more teams added to the playoffs, so you get at least one more game of inventory involved.
But you get the same effect of the season being pushed back a week. I mean, it's basically
the same. You wouldn't, because you would just play more and you'd have more inventory for the networks to be able to do that first week because
so you would only have one team with a bye as opposed to
exactly
two?
There'd be one team with a bye, and then there would be essentially three wild card games each day of wild card weekend. It would be like, you know, there'd be a night game. Sunday night football that weekend.
How do you feel about it? Because personally, I guess I'm a traditionalist. I feel this way about baseball too. I don't want to mess with it. I think it's fine. I like 16 games. I like the amount of teams we have. I like the two teams getting buys. I understand I'm not an owner trying to make more money, but I'm a fan who thinks the NFL has this perfect symmetry. Do you feel that way too about it?
I mean, I don't know about perfect, but I think the NFL has a very, very good system going. What bothers me about the 18-game season and the 18-game talk, what really bothers me is that I think everybody is just maniacally concerned with ratcheting up the revenue, which already is obscenely high. So, and again, I'm not a businessman. I'm not sitting here saying, oh, well, just go status quo forever. But I think that the NFL, especially in this 18-16 idea, is just really messing with, sort of the beautiful symmetry of the game and of the schedule and of all that. And I'm mind-boggled about it. Plus, what do you hear from the NFL all the time? All the time you hear, hey, look, we are doing everything we can to reduce head trauma. You know, we're these helmet manufacturers. I did a long podcast a couple of months ago, about 6 weeks ago, that was, I learned a ton about what these helmet manufacturers are doing to improve the helmet. And I think that is a big reason why the concussions were down 24% last year. But that's all you hear. You hear about, hey, we got to reduce head trauma. Now, in any way, and look, if you only play 16 games, you wouldn't necessarily have more head trauma for let's say a quarterback or a middle linebacker or something like that, because he'd only be playing 16 games.
Right.
But anything, even, you know, we're talking at a 17th game and play a 17th game, anything, you know, it goes contrary to what the NFL preaches day and night. You cannot expose, especially, you know, this group of players, you can't expose them to more head trauma. It just goes counter to everything they've been preaching.
I completely agree. We're talking to Peter King. I thought it was merely just really stupid. I know some Giant fans are ticked off at Baker Mayfield, but what'd you make of his comments about, in an attempt to compliment Odell Beckham Jr., took a shot at Giant fans for not caring or packing the stadium as much as Brown fans?
I mean, I just think whenever a player who's been controversial goes to a new team, all of a sudden history is recreated.
Right.
And all of a sudden, oh my God, they didn't understand Odell. Oh, poor, you know, we're going to treat Odell right, but the Giants and their fans, they didn't treat Odell right, you know. And I'm laughing. You know, it's an absolutely ridiculous statement, in my opinion, to say that either the Giants didn't treat him right or the fans didn't treat him right. I think it's ludicrous.
The Browns are incredibly talented. I think we all understand that. Are you worried about how combustible they are personality-wise?
Evan?
Yeah. I'm right.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, to me, I like the Browns. I think the Browns are a top 10 team. But the one thing, potentially, if all goes well and if Baker Mayfield plays the way he did the last 6 weeks of last year, they could easily be a playoff team this year and they could be good. Mm. But I do think the one thing we're forgetting a little bit in this, and it's hard when you try to look at how teams are going to be. It's easy to sit here and say the Browns are this, that, and the other thing. But I doubt they're going 3-1 against Baltimore and Pittsburgh.
Mm.
Maybe they will. Yeah, who knows? They might go 4-0. But my feeling is they probably are now in Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Cleveland. I will not be surprised if in that round robin that all of them are 3-3, and those games are 2-2, whatever, you know, however that is. So in my opinion, it's a little bit different to sit here and say, yeah, the Browns are great. No team is great in a vacuum. You know, you've got to pay attention to what else has happened in the division. And that's why, I mean, I think if the Browns win 10 games, it'd be a fabulous season for them, but we'll see.
Yeah. When you look at this Giant quarterback situation, it's fascinating because you're dealing with replacing, you know, a Giant legend in Eli Manning. It's not just replacing a stopgap guy. With the Jets, when they've drafted quarterbacks, whether it's Sam Darnold or Geno Smith or Mark Sanchez, they played right away. They were given that opportunity.
Yep.
How do you think it plays out timeline-wise with Daniel Jones and Eli Manning?
I mean, I think Eli Manning's going to quarterback the whole season unless the Giants stink, which is possible, or unless Eli is, you know, a 78 rating quarterback, which is also possible because, you know, it basically in the last 7 years, Eli Manning has been near the bottom of consistent NFL starters over that time. You blame whoever you want, but the numbers are the numbers. It's just the way it is. But I think as long as they're contending and aren't, you know, 3-8, you know, on November 5th, or I don't even know when that is. But I think that they would have to either be almost, you know, throwing in the towel on this season.
Right.
Or Eli would have to be bad for Jones to play. That's just my feeling.
What's your feeling for this Jet team? A new coach, the quarterback in his full year. They added a lot of talent with all the cap room they had. I know the craziness of the GM change, but what's your feeling a week out of camp for the Jets?
I think they're really one of the most interesting teams in the NFL. Now, what does that mean? I don't know what it means, but I think that their season could go in a lot of different directions. I think losing the tight end for the first 4 weeks
is a bigger
blow than anyone would think. I mean, that is really bad for them because this offensive line is just okay. And Sam Darnold is not always going to have, you know, the cleanest pocket. So he's going to need those short and intermediate targets. And, you know, it's easy to say, well, throw it to Le'Veon 150 times. What do you think the defense is going to be looking for?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, but I think I'm fascinated. I'd really love to see what happens if Quincy Enunwa plays 16 games and is on the field for 85% of the snaps this year.
Yeah, that's the biggest question with him.
I think he's a really interesting player. But I think they're a different team. They're a fascinating team. And the one other point about them is that I think it's hard to look at a team right now and to see what difference the GM makes, but I like Joe Douglas a lot. And I think that when I think of Joe Douglas picking the players for this team, look, it's not going to show up this year.
Right.
So you have no idea if Joe Douglas, you know, is any good or if he's, you know, if he's not any good this year, because you don't improve your team a lot, you know, on cut weekend. You know,
right.
you might be able to do a stopgap thing or two, but I think going forward, even though I thought what they did was really stupid in terms of timing, with you know, the GM search this year and the firing, but I think Joe Douglas is going to be a really good NFL general manager.
You know, you hit on it, though. If Joe Douglas is hired in January, I'd say, okay, fine, fresh start. You hear positive things about the guy, let's go. The fact that they let Mike Maccagnan be the general manager with all that cap room, have the draft, and then out of nowhere, basically, move on, that's my only bitter taste about the Joe Douglas
hire. I agree totally because I'm just telling you this. Yeah. I doubt. I'm not saying positively, but I doubt that Joe Douglas would have paid $1 jillion for Le'Veon Bell. And from the sound of it, it sure doesn't sound like the head coach wanted to pay $1 jillion for Le'Veon Bell.
No.
So you look at those two things and you say how history would have been different with this team this year. Where would Le'Veon Bell have been? Is it possible that Le'Veon Bell would have been in Baltimore? Or who knows? Maybe he would have been with the Jets at $9 million a year instead of whatever it is, 13 or 14.
Yeah.
But I am, and I look back at that whole thing, and I think the owner had to know at the end of last year what he was going to do, and what really is mind boggling about what Chris Johnson did, at least in my opinion, not only do you sort of have a feel like you might make a GM switch, but then the GM is knee deep in picking the coach to the point where, you know, when they almost hired Matt Rhule of Baylor, There's Chris Johnson and Mike Maccagnan flying private plane to Waco and having dinner one night with with Matt Rhule and his wife, and having this long conversation about what would you do if this and this. And doesn't give me a lot of faith when you know that there's probably a pretty good chance you're going to make a change at general manager. He had to know if he fires the guy, whatever, 3 months later, 4 months later. It was a little bit awkward, to put it mildly.
Yeah. Do you think Adam Gase, though, pushed him out, Mike Maccagnan, that it was a power struggle? Because that's the sense I've gotten as a fan.
I mean, I think it sounds like Gase didn't agree with some of the decisions that were made. But I'll be honest with you, Evan, I just don't have an inside enough view of that to know whether Gase either pushed him out or wanted him out or told Chris Johnson, I want him out. I just don't know.
Mm.
So I can't pretend that I know and
I understand.
Sit here and say, yeah, that happened, because I just don't know.
Well, it's almost here. Training camp, you'll be going on your tour. We got preseason games. Before you know it, it'll be week one. And even though that means the end of the summer, I'm still very excited about it, Peter. And it's good talking to you, my friend.
It's going to be a cool year, Evan. Great being on with you.
Thank you, man. The great Peter King of NBC, and I'm sure we'll talk to him as we get closer to the start of this season.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.